Hello, everybody, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Life Podcast from Pacific Life Insurance Company. My name is Stephen Mitchell. I work in the product marketing department here at Pacific Life, and I'm joined today by Bill Bell. Bill, tell people what you do here at Pacific Life.
Last I checked, I'm a vice president in the advanced designs unit, but who knows what tomorrow brings.
So today we have a special guest with us on the podcast. She's never been on the podcast before. We're going to welcome Joanne Gagnon. Now, Joanne has worked for Pacific Life for a long time. I've known Joanne for many, many years. I think she's probably a 20-plus year veteran at Pacific Life Insurance Company. Joanne was recently promoted to a new role within Pacific Life Insurance Company, and she was actually one of the breakout session speakers at our recent Total Solution Forum. And we had a booth at the Total Solution Forum, and we managed to grab Joanne after her session, and Bill and I had a conversation, or maybe it was just you, Bill. Was I involved in the interview?
No, I think it was just me. Although, you know, time's a flat circle and sometimes we forget these things, but I do believe that I asked all the questions for that particular interview.
Well, Bill, since you conducted the interview, why don't you go ahead and cue it up?
Yeah, so Joanne's current role with Pacific Life is that she is one of our FVPs for the KEEP program, which is a turnkey non-qualified deferred compensation platform that we launched just a couple of years ago. And Joanne's expertise is really on working with advisors to help implement these non-qualified plans for businesses to recruit and retain key executives. And it's really timely because obviously most of our listeners have probably read articles about something called the Great Resignation, where you have a lot of executives that are moving from either company to company or industry to industry for a number of different reasons, but companies that have these key executive types of programs are more able to keep those key people from moving to the guy across the street. So Joanne shared information on the Great Resignation and the KEEP program in general, and she was nice enough to sit down with us for about 20 minutes to talk all about those things. So let's bring in Joanne. But for the first time in the history of the Life Podcast, I actually remembered that we have to do our world-famous opening disclosures. Take it away.
This podcast is intended for financial professional use only. If you are not a financial professional, please visit our public website at pacificlife.com. Although this podcast is sponsored by Pacific Life Insurance Company, the opinions and views expressed are those of the hosts and participants and do not necessarily reflect Pacific Life Insurance Company's views on any of the topics discussed. Pacific Life Insurance Company is licensed to issue insurance policies in all states except New York. Product and material availability and features may vary by state. Pacific Life Insurance Company does not provide non-qualified administrative services or investment advice and does not act in a fiduciary capacity for any plan. Products refers to life insurance products. And stay tuned after this episode for more incredible and fascinating disclosures at the end of this podcast. Back to you, Bill.
All right. We're ready to go?
I am ready.
All right. So, Joanne, the last time we had somebody on the podcast to talk about KEEP, it was somebody that could not pronounce A's and R's correctly, a.k.a. John O'Donnell, Stephen and I's former boss. He also pronounced the word huge like huge, and we kept highlighting that. But thanks for joining us here today. So before we get into what KEEP is and what it is you do on a day-to-day basis, give the listeners a little background as to who you are, where you're from, and you've been with Pacific Life for a little while, so maybe you could share some of your experience working with the company over the years.
Fair enough. I am from Jupiter, Florida, although I did live in the Boston area for a solid 20 years, but not born and bred there, so I do pronounce my R's correctly, or at least I put them in the right place. 33 years in the industry, started as an agent for Northwestern, spent 9 years in Manhattan building out life insurance departments and broker-dealers, been in the field since 98, including 3 years as a point-of-sale person with another competitor, doing their deferred compensation platform, covered M Financial for 10 years, so working with high-net-worth individuals, or clients, I should say, as well as businesses that focus in the deferred comp market.
Very good. So we've mentioned KEEP already, but what does the acronym KEEP stand for?
The Key Executive Advantage Program.
What is KEEP, and why should our listeners be excited about it?
KEEP is a turnkey but fully customizable platform for non-qualified deferred compensation programs. And we, as point-of-sale people, are there to assist advisors in every aspect of implementing a non-qualified plan, which, as you may know, there's very few people that specialize in this marketplace. And in fact, there's quite a few people who would be hard-pressed to actually explain what deferred compensation plans are.
Can you explain it to me? Because I'm not sure what it is.
Sure. I mean, at a very high level, first of all, it's not a product. It's actually a plan. It's really just an arrangement between an employer and a select group of employees, allowing those employees the ability to forego some element of current compensation to some point in the future, thereby lowering their current income tax liability the same way they would with a retirement plan, except it is not qualified.
And so this is not for rank and file employees. This is for key executives, thus the K and the E in KEEP. Is that correct?
Yes. In fact, a non-qualified deferred compensation plan falls under the Top Hat Rules, which is, believe it or not, a technical name, Top Hat Rules. And there's two provisions within that. The first is that the plan must be for a select group of highly compensated and or key management. And the second requirement is that the plan be unfunded, which, by the way, doesn't mean there is no funding. It just means that any plan funds would be informal in nature, not 100% benefit secured. That's why it has to be limited for the select group. So it's one of the few places, or maybe the only place in this country, where discrimination is not a dirty word. It's an actual requirement of the plan.
So you said it's a turnkey program. What exactly does that mean for somebody that's never done a non-qualified deferred compensation plan before?
Well, I mentioned that it's not a product. So it really is a plan. And that means creating a plan document. And within the document, if you think about certain examples that make a lot of sense to people, if you were to build a home with a national builder, you might get to choose the model of the home. And there could be 7 to 9 designs that are pre-planned in terms of their hard elements. But then once you choose the plan design, you have, say, 30 to 50 different options within the plan. That's turnkey and yet customizable. So we're helping with the marketing element of it, the design element of it, the enrollment, the education, and ultimately the funding.
So I know administration is an overlooked component of a lot of non-qualified plans. I mean, I can't tell you how many times over the years that I've talked to financial advisors that have worked with business owners to put these plans in place for their executives, but they just think that they can administer them on their own or their CPA can do it. Can you tell the listeners why it's so important to have competent administration for these plans?
Yes, and I would say that's probably the biggest misnomer in terms of deferred compensation plans, is that a lot of people think that if they sell a product that they've created a plan. And really, the participants in the plan should not have any say or control over any kind of funding mechanism. So it's a little bit like creating a wall between what the plan itself is or the liability of the plan and any funding asset that the company might hold. So a good way to think of it is in terms of, say, investment options that someone might choose in a plan, it's just something trackable that a record keeper can pay attention to and log as basically an account balance. And a great example, you were talking about football earlier, is fantasy football. A person can create a team of players that don't exist together in real life, and yet because they have statistics that are trackable, you can build a fantasy football team. That could be the same as an account balance in a deferred compensation program. On the other side of the coin, the company doesn't have to fund for it, but they could create an asset that it essentially mimics what that plan balance is.
And so that's where we come into play as Pacific Life, is that our products, without naming products specifically or talking about any of the features, but the products can be designed to mimic that account balance.
Yes. In fact, in building an institutionally priced product for the purpose of funding the liability on a non-qualified deferred compensation plan.
Now, our listeners might be saying to themselves, well, this sounds amazing, but I'm not sure whether or not I have a client that is going to be a good candidate for Keep. What is that good client for this program?
It really comes down to desire to create a retention tool for the best people. And sometimes businesses aren't thinking of it in terms of recruit, reward, retain. But if you ask them the question, have you lost any of your key personnel within the last 5 years to a competitor? Almost every time they're going to be able to identify someone, especially in the pandemic marketplace where we can identify the fact that there's been 54 million people in the past 12 months that are resigned from a job and another 44% moving from one place to another. So it's identifying their need or putting it in, a context they understand, trying to retain good people. Sometimes that's where a closely held business doesn't want to give out equity to keep their best people, but trying to figure out a way to differentiate them from rank and file. In other scenarios, it can be a closely held business that has highly compensated individuals that max out on the 401k and still would like to be able to contribute more on a pre-tax basis.
Is there a specific size business as far as revenue or employees or some other factor that makes it a better candidate for Keep than other businesses?
We generally say a business with $10 million or more of revenue. And ultimately, we're looking for, say, businesses that have 75 or so employees. It can be less than that because our program does go down to as few as two participants. But we're looking for annual cash flow into the plan of at least $200,000 a year. Some other key factors. While public companies are appealing, it's actually much more common to run into private organizations, S corporations, where you have one to, say, five business owners, and there's definitely a lot of appeal there. Tax-exempt organizations are not right for this program. They just have different requirements in terms of plan, et cetera, and it doesn't really make sense for us. So really comes down to having, you know, at least two or more participants eligible for the qualified or the non-qualified plan and $200,000 of cash flow. And it should be an established organization because there is that element of risk for the participants. We want a business that has some longevity and profitability.
And can the program be designed to accept executive deferrals, company money, a combination of both? It's customizable. Am I correct there?
Fully customizable, all in one plan. And very important to point out, in the large market, elective deferrals typically drive 100% of a plan. In the mid-market, what we find is it's the opposite. The plans are primarily driven by discretionary contributions from the employer, and they may or may not allow elective deferrals. But the answer is yes.
And then what if we have a advisor, financial professional that's listening or gets on the phone with you and we determine that it's not a good candidate for Keep, but maybe some other executive benefits strategy out there? How does that process generally work?
Well, first of all, it happens all the time, and we don't shy away from those opportunities. I gave you a little bit of my background, so you know I wore a lot of different hats, and our entire field team really is the same way. So frequently, if it's not an opportunity for Keep, it's an opportunity for something else. And we're going to help develop it to the extent that we can. And then we're going to make sure it gets into the hands of the right person to help them develop it further. Obviously, as a broad statement, Pacific Life wants business from all aspects. So it's in our interest to make sure that we develop every opportunity to the extent that we can.
Yeah, and it goes without saying that my team, the Advanced Designs Unit, is there to help to identify some of those opportunities as well. So in some cases, it may not be non-qualified deferred compensation, but it might be a executive bonus or restricted executive bonus or split dollar or some other variant of executive compensation planning. Now, last question for you, Joanne. If somebody has a potential prospect for Keep, what's the best way to get a hold of you or one of your team members? And what can you provide to our listeners in regards to point of sale and other assistance associated with their opportunity?
I would say the first thing is just to reach out to us, whether that's by email or text or calling us, and make us aware of the situation as early as possible. I realize that a lot of times people feel like they want to tackle it initially themselves, and I'm not trying to make us bigger than we are by saying, please, please, please bring us in as quickly as possible. Sometimes what happens is people try to go on their own before they bring us in, and then sometimes we have to backtrack some of what they've said. So this is not us trying to say we know more than you. It's just that this is all we do. And if it's all we do, we talk about it all the time versus, say, some of the other elements of just general planning. It's one of those things that if you've worked with us a couple times, then you probably don't need as much help. But that first experience, please let us help you as soon as possible. And we will do everything from that initial meeting with the client, you know, walking through, discussing, doing general education. If they've already done some investigative work, we can talk to them about what our options are in terms of plan design, all the presentation, all the design work. Really, we're an extension of the advisor's office for this purpose. So we're doing all the heavy lifting, but we're not going on the revenue line.
And for our listeners that want more information on KEEP, they can certainly find it on our website at lifeinsurance.pacificlife.com. Again, that's lifeinsurance.pacificlife.com. All right. Well, Joanne, thanks so much. I know that KEEP is a big focus for us at Pacific Life, and certainly hope that there's going to be some opportunities for our listeners to be working with you or Matt or Kim or the other Matt going forward. Here. So thanks again for joining us here today.
Thank you, Bill.
Well, nicely done there, Bill, in that interview with Joanne. I know that I was there. I was, you know, bringing the gravitas that I normally bring to any situation, but thanks for taking the lion's share of the question and answer session there.
Well, you know, it was really only so good because we were all able to be within your presence, Stephen. I mean, that really was the key to the success of that particular interview. But honestly, I mean, non-qualified deferred compensation is a specialization of the advanced designs unit. So it made sense for me to do most of the heavy lifting when we were talking to Joanne, for sure, in that particular case.
I mean, I can't disagree with that. I have been in this business long enough to know that it is a very timely topic because, again, I know that those kinds of programs are exactly what we use in this economy to retain key executives. And so the timing for us couldn't be better. So nicely done there. And for those of you that enjoyed the interview and would like to listen to other interviews on other topics, or if you would like to suggest an upcoming interview, how can they do that, Bill?
Well, first of all, they can drop us an email. So if you have a question for myself or for Stephen or even Joanne, go ahead and send it over to us at themailbag@pacificlife.com. That's a special mailbox that just goes to Stephen and I. In fact, we're going to be doing a mailbag episode of the show here in 2023. So if you send us an intriguing question, we might even answer it, quote unquote, live on a future episode of the podcast. Also, if you want to listen to past episodes of the podcast, you can do so on all the streaming apps, but you're also welcome to do so by visiting our website at thelifepodcast.com. A lot of great information on there. And in fact, I think that we might even have some pictures from the Total Solution Forum on that website here going forward. So make sure to check that out. And then finally, if you're a subscriber on Apple Podcasts, stop by. Leave us a nice review. We love to see kind words from our listeners. So for that, for Stephen Mitchell, I'm Bill Bell. Thanks for stopping by today.
Pacific Life is a product provider. It is not a fiduciary, and therefore it does not give advice or make recommendations regarding insurance or investment products. Pacific Life, its affiliates, their distributors, and respective representatives do not provide tax, accounting, or legal advice. Any taxpayer should seek advice based on the taxpayer's particular circumstances from an independent tax advisor or attorney. In order to sell life insurance, a financial professional must be a properly licensed and appointed life insurance producer. Pacific Life Insurance Company is licensed to issue insurance products in all states except New York. Product and material availability and features may vary by state. Insurance products and their guarantees, including optional benefits and any crediting rates, are backed by the financial strength and claims-paying ability of the issuing insurance company. Look to the strength of the life insurance company with regard to such guarantees, as these guarantees are not backed by the broker-dealer insurance agency or their affiliates from which products are purchased. Neither these entities nor the representatives make any representation or assurances regarding the claims paying ability of the life insurance company. FVP stands for Field Vice President. CPA stands for Certified Public Accountant. KEEP stands for Key Executive Advantage Program. Source, 2022 was the real year of the Great Resignation, says economist CNBC, https://www.cnbc.com/2023/01/y-2022-was-the-real-year-of-the-great-resignation.html, assessed February 21st, 2023. Source, the Great Resignation continues. As 44% of workers look for a new job, CNBC, https://www.cnbc.com/2022/03/22/great-resignation-continues-as-44%-of-workers-seek-a-new-job.html, assessed February 21st, 2023. Pacific Life Insurance Company is located in Newport Beach, California. This podcast was recorded on September 20th, 2022. The state code for this podcast is 23-1.